You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We call it the Pesach Seder. And what that means is, quite obviously, is there's a specific Seder, specific format of how the actual Pesach Haggadah is supposed to be presented. The Seder has a specific purpose. It has a specific ultimate goal. And as my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, pointed out, the ultimate purpose of the Haggadah on the night of Pesach in a theological level is to really bring us to three different levels of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is our Yedias Elohim, our knowledge of God, our understanding and comprehension who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and all the powers that he contains on all different types of levels. The second purpose is to bring us to an Avas Elohim, a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the time the night is over, and I'll demonstrate how that's done and how it is manifested by the Haggadah itself. And the third purpose of the Haggadah is for us to develop a Hakaras Atov, a thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that he's done for Klal Yisrael, not only when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, our sojourn in the Midbar, Kabbalah Satorah, the giving of Eretz Yisrael, but what he's done for Klal Yisrael for thousands of years up until our current time frame, and Amir Tzashem, what he plans to continue to do for us to bring us to the ultimate redemption with the coming of the Mashiach Amir Tzashem. So, Yediyas Hashem, Avat Hashem, Hakaras HaTov are some of the major functional purposes behind the entire Pesach experience, and in particular the Haggadah and the Seder we have on the night of Pesach. So listen very carefully as I explain to you Rav Soloveitchik's formulation of what he calls the infrastructure of the Haggadah, to see what we're doing and how we do it and the reason behind what we do it, so when you finally go through the process of the Pesach Seder itself, you know exactly what we're doing and why we're doing what they're doing, to make the experience more meaningful and having a greater impact upon you. The first thing I want to mention is that one of the major functionalities of Klal Yisrael when we were chosen to be the Am HaNivchar at HaSinai is that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to us, Kosomer leBeis Yaakov v'Sagi leBnei Yisrael, that I want the Beis Yaakov, which are the women, and Bnei Yisrael, that are the men, to realize that we are a religion based upon not only the performance of mitzvahs on the manual level, but we are likewise a nation that's based upon learning, studying, analyzing, intellectually comprehending on the deepest level possible all the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us, all the concepts of Hashkafa Satara that are contained not only in the Chumash but in Tanakh in general, combining that type of scriptural analysis with the addition of Torah Shva Peh, with the oral law contained in the Talmud Bavli, contained in the Talmud Yerushalmi, all the Midrashi Halacha and Haggadah that deal with the Torah Shva Peh's Messar and how you interpret the Psukim, and the ideologies and concepts that are contained in the Chumash and every place else. And therefore, we are experiencing on the night of the Seder the ultimate performance of Talmud Torah, where you basically have Torah Shebiksav explained by Torah Shebapeh to bring us to a greater insight and understanding of who we are, who Hashem is, and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I want you to know is that when it came to Kabbalah Satara, the Rabban Hashem told us at Har Sinai that we are required to in fact accept not only the observance of Torah Shebiksav, the written law, the biblical law, but we're required also to accept the Torah Shebapeh's interpretation of that written law and all the technical applications that are derived from Torah Shebapeh in its explanation of Torah Shebiksav. The pasuk that's contained in Parshas Kisiso, which we read last week, is Api Hadram Elu Karati Itcha Bris. Based upon these things, I've made a covenant with you to be my covenantal people. And the Gemara in Masechet Gittin, as well as the Medrash Tanhuma, points out that what this pasuk teaches us is only when Klal Yisrael are willing to accept both the Torah Shebiktav and the Torah Shebaaleh, did the Ribono Shel Olam have the willingness to allow us to become the Am HaNivchar. In fact, when we said Nasa V'Nishma at the time of Kabbalah Satara, the Nasa refers to learning Torah when it comes to Halacha L'Masa, the do's and the don'ts that we are required to adhere to when it comes to Tayyag HaMitzvos. Nishma means an in-depth analysis and understanding of the do's and don'ts and all the other parts of the Torah through a deep analysis accomplished through Torah Shel Baal Peh. And when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, we're going to be careful with Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shel Baal Peh and its combined interpretation. Hashem gave us two crowns, one crown connected to Torah Shebiktav and one crown connected to Torah Shel Baal Peh. So just be aware of that specific factor. Why is it that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted us to be so involved in learning Torah as a major activity of the Jewish people? Why is that the case? So the Rambam tells us in a very, very beautiful piece in the Sefer HaMitzvos that he wrote on the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, the mitzvah of us loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. We say it every day when we recite the Kriya Shema, we say V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. So the question is, what is the meaning, what is the concept of Avat Hashem, and how do we accomplish Avat Hashem? How do we connect and develop a love between ourselves and the Ribono Shel Olam? So the Sifrei tells us that the Chachamim were a little perplexed, because to tell you to love another human being, you're able to relate to another human being because they are a physical corporeal entity, you are a physical corporeal entity, and human beings can develop relationships between themselves to be able to come to know one another and to develop a love, a compassion, and a friendship between each other, which leads to love eventually. But the Ribono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, the Ribono Shel Olam and human beings are on different planes. We as human beings, as I pointed out, are physical corporeal entities. The Ribono Shel Olam is incorporeal and a divine entity above the understanding and comprehension of human beings. So how does a physical, corporeal entity, human being, develop a knowledge, a love, and a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's living in a plane of incorporeality, metaphysical reality, spiritual levels that are simple and incomprehensible to human beings, and even Malachim have a difficulty in their total comprehension of Hashem's existence. So how do we relate to Hashem to develop an Ava, lover, between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we mekayim v'ahavta Hashem elokecha? So the Medrash tells us that the Ribono Shel Olam gives the answer in the Kriya Shema. Because after the pasuk v'ahavta Hashem elokecha, it says immediately in the Torah, v'ahayu hadvarim eila shenecha mitzavcha hayom ala revecha, that these words of the Torah that I'm giving you should be something understood and placed upon your heart, your mind, your soul, to comprehend it, to understand it. That's your tachlis, that's your purpose. And if that's the case, by understanding the Torah in all its depth, Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shel Baal Peh, mitoch kach, you'll be able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the knowledge Hashem has imparted to us, and we'll develop a hakara, awareness between ourselves and Hashem through the learning of Torah that we do. And therefore, the learning of Torah will be a medium for us to develop some type of level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our knowledge of God and understanding of God and developing an appreciation, hakara to Hashem for all that Hashem does for us. Ultimately, we'll come to not only Yiras Hashem, fear and reverence for God, but will come to Avat Hashem. And as the Rambam also mentions in Hilchos Tshuva, our knowledge of God and the intensity of that knowledge and all its ramifications ultimately brings us to the constant level of Vahavta Hashem Elokecha. So if that's the case, learning is an integral part of the Jewish experience when it comes to connecting to HaKadosh Baruch on the highest level. That's why he made it one of the major, major parts of the mitzvahs, of the Tayyak mitzvahs for Klal Yisrael, for men and for women, because we both need to learn intensely to develop an awareness and acknowledgement of God, understanding of God through his mitzvahs, to develop by that a fear of God and a love of God and HaKadosh Atov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Soloveitchik used to say that the Haggadah on the night of Pesach is the paradigm example how a person, through learning Torah and understanding Torah on different levels, is able to develop a connective link between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The concept of Higadu Levincha, the concept of the Haggadah being called that which you relate to your children, the word Haggadah, as Soloveitchik points out, that connotes the combination of studying Torah Shebichsav through the interpretation of Torah Shebaal Peh, and by putting the whole picture together, that allows us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the night of Pesach with the Pesach Seder and the Haggadah on the highest level possible when it comes to our spiritual experience. In fact, some had a binyak to this very day, that after they finished the Haggadah from beginning to end, and since we're supposed to reach a level of love to Hashem on a very high level upon our completion of the Seder of the Pesach and the Haggadah, there was a minyan that still exists in Klal Yisrael, so that many people at that point in time finished the evening by reciting Shir HaShirim, Ani L'Dodi Dodi Li, which is the love song that relates and describes the intense love that Klal Yisrael has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. So that's our ultimate matara, to develop by the time the night's over not only HaKaras HaTov Hashem and the Yediyas Hashem and knowledge of Hashem, but a Yiran Avat Hashem on the highest level. Now, with this in mind, that is why, if you look in the Haggadah, we find something quite interesting and fascinating, which is part of the Nusach of the Haggadah. I'm going to point out some interesting things today. So when you see it yourself and you're learning the Haggadah, you'll understand why it was placed in it. We find that after the Baal Haggadah tells us that we have a Chiyuv, Kulanu Chunavonim, Kulanu Chunzakenim, Kulim Yodim Asatara, Mitzvah Lein Lasapi, Abitzias Mishraim, the Haggadah says, the more you talk about the events and the information contained in the Haggadah and learn the information, the greater praiseworthiness this is. And they tell a story about Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfin, who were the Gedolei Hadar of that generation. And when they had the Seder together with Rabbi Kiva in his specific home, which was in Bnei Brak, they learned and they discussed all the phenomena contained in the Haggadah on multiple levels the entire night. They went through the whole night until they came to the morning time, to Shachris. The Talmidim said, Rabbi Seinu, the Zman of Kriya Shema has arrived. And therefore, if that's the case, we see that they felt the necessity to spend the entire night in analysis and darshaning and understanding and comprehending with intense depth perception all the beautiful concepts contained in the Haggadah when it comes to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And ultimately, Chazal tell us that what did the Talmidim tell them? They said, it's not just the time to daven. It's the time to say Kriya Shema. Why did they mention Kriya Shema? Because in Kriya Shema you have the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha mentioned. So what the Talmidim said, my dear Rabbeim, you spent the whole night in your search for Yediyas Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, and your concept of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You wanted to develop your highest Yiras Hashem and Avat Hashem. And now that you've accomplished it and you've gone through the whole night, it's time to therefore manifest that Avat Hashem. So when you recite Kriya Shema, you say V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you'll feel it. You'll sense it. Because your experience of the Seder night before with such intense depth perception has brought you to the consummate form of Avat Hashem. So when you say V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha in the Shema Yisrael of the morning, you'll feel that Ava emanating from you from the experience you had the night before. So we therefore see, Rav Soloveitchik points out, that the Haggadah itself, quite obviously, has different ways of showing people how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu and develop a love for Him. It describes what the Chachamim of Bnei Brak did, and if that's the case, quite obviously speaking, that should be one of the purposes, the matarot, of why we go through the Haggadah in such an in-depth analysis the entire night, in order to accomplish this specific feat of Yedias Hashem, and Hakarat Tov to Hashem, appreciation to Hashem, and Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, as the result of that experience. Our salvation points out that when we learn Torah, if you look in the Gemara, you look in Talmudic literature, you look in all different forms of Sforim dealing with the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, what makes Judaism unique is that we are not just involved in a lecture type of mode of learning, where somebody comes up and just lectures to us and we listen when we take notes. But it's very, very important that when we have learning taking place, there should be what the Rav called an interrogative dialogue. An interrogative dialogue means shela v'tshuva. Questions should be posed, answers should be given, discussions between the Rebbe and the Talmud back and forth. The interrogative dialogue is the format how Torah is learned to this very day. In every Beis Medrash on the face of this earth, in every women's seminary of Torah, questions are posed, answers are given. In English, that's called the interrogative dialogue, the give and take between the Rebbe and the Talmud, the Rebbe and the Talmida, as they try to perceive the Torah. And that is a crucial factor of how the Haggadah works. That's why the Haggadah begins with questions, the Manishtana. The child starts off asking his Tati and all the other Chachamim at the Seder, why do we do this, why do we do that? So there is an interrogation going on. What's the reason of all these different Minhagim that we do, the Shinuyim we do on the night of Pesach? And the dialogue continues. By then, the person who is the Magid, the person who was leading the Seder, slowly but surely answering all the four questions that the child asked, and answering even much more than the four questions that the child asked, in order that this specific dialogue be able to take place in a formal, tangible fashion. In fact, I will mention to you something that's very important to remember. And that is, at the end of the day, the Haggadah mentions that the Chazal speak about the Dalet Banim, Dibra Torah. The different children in the household, each one on a different intellectual plane, each one on a different spiritual plane. And what the emphasis of the Haggadah over here is that whoever is going to be the Magid Shir on the night of Pesach and give over the Haggadah has to give over the Haggadah in such a way that everybody sitting at that Seder gets something from this specific interrogative dialogue. Whether you're a tzaddik, whether you might nebuch be a rasha, tam, eidei lishol, all the four different personalities mentioned there that could all be potentially part of the same household should get some spiritual uplifting information and get elated on a spiritual, metaphysical level by experiencing the Seder on the night of Pesach. And therefore, the father, or whoever's the Magid who is leading the Seder, has to gear their presentation to all the people sitting at the Seder. The Ramah says you have to say the Nusach of the Haggadah the way it's written, but make sure you translate in a language that everybody who's sitting at that table understands what the Haggadah is talking about, what the Haggadah is saying, besides the Divrei Torah you're going to say in explaining in depth the purposes of this, of these Mamari Chazal and Psukim that you are reciting at the Seder itself. Chazal tell us that one of the kolchos, one of the powers of Moshe Rabbeinu, that made Moshe Rabbeinu such a powerful mechanech, an expert in teaching Torah, is that Moshe every day used to have a shiur given, where he basically had four different groups of people come, four different people groups of people that were on different intellectual planes, different spiritual planes, and he presented the same material, but he presented it on the respective level of each and every group. The first group was the highest level, the second group was the next level, third group was the third level, fourth group was the fourth level. Each group was given the same information, but according to their capacities of understanding, comprehension, and spiritual astuteness. And this is something whoever's leading the Seder has to work on to try to reach everybody who's participating in the Seder to be able to appreciate the information being shared with us by those who compose the Haggadah, to make the Seder Pesach on the night of Pesach as meaningful as it possibly can be on the highest spiritual level itself. Now over here I want to go a little deeper and come into a very, very important factor to show you certain component parts of the Haggadah and why we do them and how we basically carry them through in our actual kiyum of this specific mitzvah. When it comes to our perception, our understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which we call in Hebrew Hasagas Elokis, the Rambam says that there are in fact three different ways that we are able to develop the capacity to have a comprehension and understanding of God. As we discussed before, you have to try to understand God, even though that might be difficult, because we're living in two different planes of existence. And the three areas the Rambam mentions in his works, whether in the Mishneh Torah, in the Maror Nevuchim, and his other writings, is through learning Torah. That's number one. We'll get more into that very shortly. Number two, by studying the natural law of the universe in which we live, which is an important factor in coming to an acknowledgement, understanding who God is, who created this natural law. And also through studying world history, and in particular Jewish history, to understand Hashem's divine supervision, Hashgacha Pratis, and the divine providence, which existed from the beginning of Briat Olam and will exist under God's supervision to the end of time. And let me explain to you, in the Haggadah, how these three areas are addressed by the Baal Haggadah. So when you read the Haggadah, you'll be able to see this and understand this and comprehend why this material was incorporated into the Haggadah. When it comes to Torah, the fact of the matter is, you see many, many psukim that are darshaned in the Haggadah. When it comes to the learning of Torah, darshaning the psukim based upon Torah Shel Baal Peh, not only do we have the learning of Midrashi Halacha and Midrashi Haggadah in the Haggadah by learning psukim in Torah Shel Baal Peh, but we even have a section on Tami HaMitzvahs, that you have to explain the Tami HaMitzvah during the Pesach, and the Matzah, and the Morah. Learning Tami Mitzvahs are a very important part of studying Torah, because we don't just want to do the Mitzvahs as a mechanical activity, because God just said we have to do it. Every Mitzvah that God gave us of the Tayyak Mitzvahs has a specific group of hashkafot, ideologies and concepts that this mitzvah teaches us, both the do's and the don'ts, to impact and to influence the hashkafas of how we conduct ourselves as B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah. So studying the Tama mitzvah, why we do the mitzvahs of what we eat and do on the night of Pesach, the Tami HaMitzvahs, is an integral part not only of Talmud Torah, of learning, as the Rambam accentuates that Tamei Mitzvahs is a major activity that we should be involved with in explaining every one of the Tayag Mitzvahs of the Torah, as the Rambam did, as the Sefer Chinuch did, as the Ramban did, Abarbanel and others. But besides learning the Tamei HaMitzvos, we're supposed to, therefore, because of those Tamei HaMitzvos, undergo a metamorphosis and become really astute B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah, and relate to God through this Torah learning experience. And a great part of the Seder is dealt with the boys and girls who went to yeshivas, who went to seminaries of all different calibrations of age, spend a lot of time saying Torah over at the Seder, what they learned by their teachers, in order to embellish the Haggadah, to explain in depth perspectives that their teachers gave them. So you make the Haggadah intellectual analysis as meaningful as possible, as all-inclusive as possible, as powerful as possible in our learning experience that night time. When it comes to studying natural law, the Haggadah is full of the explanation of Makos. And by the time you finish the Haggadah, you realize that we didn't just have Eser Makos in Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, but there were so many supplementary types of makos and miracles that took place where natural law was changed in order for Klal Yisrael to be saved from their Egyptian servitude and ultimately freed and becoming free men and aristocrats. Their life was saved in Kiryas Yamsuf from the major army of Mitzrayim by the splitting of the sea into 12 different parts. You then have Klal Yisrael miraculously being maintained in the Midbar, surrounded by Nani Akavo, clouds of glory, Man Min HaShemayim, that's how they got their daily bread, the Beramayim that was in that rock that accompanied them and gave them incredible water to be able to give millions of people, men, women, and children, the water they needed to survive in a hot Midbar. So the miracles of the Makos and all that the Haggadah talks about gives us an understanding of what natural law is about and how God, who created the natural, who created the world, Yesh Miayin, from nothing he brought something into existence. God took from nothing and created an entire universe with billions and billions of stars and other types of celestial entities besides the earth. And all of this was for the purposes of having man be able to survive on the planet Earth with the benefit of the universe around them, helping man in this survival activity on the face of this Earth. The concept of creating natural law and all the rules and regulations of all the scientific and medical and technological phenomena contained in natural law, the Makos demonstrated them, and therefore when a person realizes the incredible Chachma Hashem has in creating natural law and manipulating it when he wants to manipulate it and make it conducive for human existence against all odds, you're able to see my Rabu Masech Hashem Kulam B'Chachma Asisim Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. Look at the beautiful universe we live in. Many of the Gedolei Hadar used to have periods of time that they used to study natural law. The great Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emunah B'Tochen says he was very much into human anatomy, human physiology. When he thought about how the human body was created physically, and how everything works together, the different parts and the different body organs, and how everything Hashem made works in concert with each other. So this brought into a greater understanding of the natural law of just the creation of the human being alone, and the creation of the universe that facilitates human existence, and brought him closer and closer to the Rabbi Neshalam. When it comes to our historical analysis of the Haggadah, what's interesting is there are two major texts that the Gemara mentions we have to discuss when it comes to the creation of the Jewish people and how we became who we are today. The two texts are the texts of Avadim Hayinu, which is part of the text of the Haggadah, and the Parsha dealing with Arami Oved Avi, dealing with our sojourn with Lavan for X amount of years, that Yaakov lived with him, married his daughters, raised his Shiftei Ka. All of those two Parshios Avadim Hayinu and Rami Omer Avi have to be part of the historical record of how Klal Yisrael came into existence itself. I once heard from my dear Rebbe, or Soloveitchik, something quite interesting. He points out that the Gemara has a question when you're basically giving the narrative of the historical Hashkacha Pratis of God, God's divine providence and watching and guarding and taking care of the Jewish people, as he promised in the Brisbane HaBesarim, that Hashem says, I will make Klal Yisrael indestructible. I'm going to allow the Jews to live L'mayla Miderech HaTeva when it comes to world history and all different types of levels. I'm going to give Klal Yisrael the ability to survive, whether they're in a Geula mode, in a Gullus mode. I'm going to give them ultimately Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish homeland, no matter what the world says. The fact of the matter is, when you read the narratives of Avadim Hayinu and Arami Amar Avi, you're able to see how all the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim came to the fulfillment. And that is why in the middle of the Haggadah, when we're reciting the narrative of Avadim Hayinu, Arami Amar Avi, and all the other narratives, we momentarily stop in the middle, cover the matzah, pick up the cup of wine, and we say, Kos Yeshuas Esau, V'Shem HaShem Ekra, and we make the ultimate declaration, Shebechol Dar V'Dar Oim Demaleinu L'Chalaseinu V'HaKadosh Baruch HaMatzaleinu Miyadam. We're thanking Hashem that in each and every generation, the non-Jewish world tried to get rid of the Jewish people. They were jealous of us from the very, very beginning. And despite their attempts and desires to physically or spiritually destroy us, what is the Sheva Hedah of raising the cup of Yeshua's to say that what caused us to survive was the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim that I just mentioned to you that guaranteed the eternal existence of the Jewish people physically and spiritually, the existing Shalei B'Derech HaTeva and the fulfillment of all the promises that were made to them, they will be fulfilled at the proper time, at the proper place, under the agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvod B'Atzmo. We do, however, find the Machlokes in the Gemara, in Avadim Hayinu and Arami Oved Avi, which one of those historical narratives goes first. Now, based upon Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation of the debate, he points out the following interesting phenomenon. He says, if you go based upon historical educational philosophy, then you should really start with Arami Oved Avi, which was our sojourn with Lavan and other Rishayim. Avadam Hayinu first took place later on, so we should start the Haggadah that way if we went with historical accuracy. However, if we start with Avadam Hayinu, which we do before Arami Oved Avi, what's our justification? We hold when it comes to educating people under our sphere of influence that intellectual comprehension sometimes must take us out of historical accuracy and start with the simple that's able to be comprehended intellectually and then get to the more complex. The concepts of the threat of Avdus in Egypt is easy to be understood by, especially by the younger children, than the theological, conceptual forms of influence that the non-Jewish world wanted to have upon us to make us assimilate and acculturate and destroy our beliefs and our beliefs and make us believe in other types of fake religious entities in this world. So quite obviously, Chazal, and the Ritva is the one that's used, when you maskle b'gnus and asayim b'shvach, We don't go into historical accuracy. We're starting with Arami Oved Avi. We start with Avadim Hayinu, which is easier on an intellectual comprehension level for people to understand, especially the children. And after we finish our initial analysis of historical Hashgacha Pratz of Hashem through the concept of intellectual comprehension, we then go to the more sophisticated Arami Oved Avi, where there the destruction was one of an intellectual, spiritual, theological plane, where Lot would have loved to make us Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and wean us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact of the matter is, how we give over the material on the night of Pesach is based upon the educational philosophy that intellectual comprehension trumps historical accuracy in the presentation of information. One of the other major parts, quite obviously, of the Haggadah itself is the utilization, quite obviously, of visual props. We do audiovisual presentation. And what we do is, number one, is we show the Korban Pesach and we discuss it. We show the Olam the Matzah. We show the Olam the Morah. With these props, we're able to explain exactly what our Avos did at the time of the first Seder in Mitzrayim, which we're supposed to replicate each and every year on the anniversary date of Pesach, what they symbolize, what their significance is. The whole Kara is a visual aid of symbolic objects relating to this specific topic itself. The fact that on the night of the Seder, we basically sit behaseva, we sit on our side to show the aristocratic way of eating at that historical period of time. The people who are aristocrats used to eat on their left-hand side, reclining as a form of eating like an aristocrat by a table. They were laying down partially and sitting rather than sitting the way we sit today. That's part of the audiovisual phenomenon of feeling and experiencing the fact that Chazal say, Chayv Adam Liros Atzma Kiliyos Mitzrayim. We have to feel as if we're leaving Mitzrayim tonight and therefore replicate what our Avos did together with their families on the night of Pesach, even in the way they sat, let alone the way they ate the food of that evening with all its ramifications. In fact, some have a minhag, especially in the Sephardish world, that they parade around their dining room as if they're basically starting to make their trip of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Many of the hotels where you have more room to play with, there's some Sephardish mishpachas that will go around the dining room and basically try to replicate the Yetzias Mitzrayim taking place, holding sticks and basically carrying packages on their back to show the Yetzia, the actual exodus itself from Egypt itself. All of these audiovisual props and audiovisual presentations help make the Haggadah a much more realistic type of experience, bring it home, bring it to the fore, and allow us, quite obviously, to have the maximal experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that a person can really say, ah, I felt like I left Mitzrayim tonight, and therefore have the full experience in every way you possibly can. There is a very, very interesting machlokes in the world of Jewish experience that was debated throughout the centuries when it comes to how a person develops hasagas elokis, a perception of God, a connection, a relationship to God. And the two leaders of the two different schools that I'm going to mention right now is the Rambam. Maimonides is the leader of one school. Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who wrote the Sefer Kuzari, is the leader of the other school. And what I'm going to show you is how they had different ways of what they felt is the maximum way to develop Hasagas Elokis, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam accentuated in all his works that we, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have to develop a comprehension of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We have to comprehend Hashem by limud HaTorah, by limud of natural sciences, by learning the historical record of Klal Yisrael. It's an intellectual process of getting Hasagas Elokis. On the other hand, you have Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari says that in his mind, to develop a connection to Hashem, we have to be involved in an emotional experience that gives us an apprehension of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And that's why on the night of Pesach in the Haggadah, we don't only talk on the intellectual plane, but we sing Shirim v'tishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say Piyutim, we recite, sing the Hallel. We have a night of singing Hashem's divine praises. So it's a night that connects learning with song, with comprehension and apprehension, with intellectual and emotional connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Seidish impact upon everybody based upon all their respective strengths in coming to a connective link between them and the Rabbanu Shalom. The Haggadah we recite on the night of Pesach has all of these qualities, has all of these facets when it comes to the experience we have as it relates to the Yom Tov of Pesach and what it represents and what we basically are able to comprehend. Achazal point out that when we are reliving the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're not just reliving it on a historical perspective, but we're actually undergoing a redemption at this point in time. I'll discuss more of that next week's shiur. We're actually going through a format of a microcosmic Yetzias Mitzrayim at this point in time. And the same way there was a tikkun to Klal Yisrael's neshamot that took place on the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim on a specific level, on a macro level, every year when we are experiencing Pesach on the night of Pesach, we are going to experience the same type of spiritual elevation for us on that evening on a micro level of spiritual elevation. The Moshe Chaim Latzata says in his Derech Hashem that all the things we do on the night of Pesach, the studying analysis of the Haggadah, the eating of the Matzah, the eating of the Korban Pesach, the eating of Marah, and all the other things we do that evening are what gives us the ability to unlock the spiritual regress of that specific evening, allow it to impact upon us, elevate it to us on a microscopic level, to give us a tikkun haneshama, the same way our avos, when they basically experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim, got a tikkun haneshama on a macro level, that started the process of their metamorphosis to become ultimately the Am HaNivcha, the Am HaKadosh, and by the time they had left Mitzrayim to the time they came to Har Sinai, 49-50 days, they literally had eradicated the 49 Sharei Tumah. They were able to replace it with the 49 gates of spiritual Tahara. The Gemara and the Zohar says, Pasuk Zuhamasam, any spiritual contamination which they suffered in Mitzrayim and before then was eliminated by their mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim and their experience they had in the Midbar up until their ultimate coming to Har Sinai, a 49-50 day experience, a total spiritual metamorphosis on a macro level. And we ourselves, every year when we experience Pesach and we count then 49 days afterwards, for Sfiras Oma up until Kabbalah Satara and Shavuos, we develop a micro form of that type of tipa neshama to literally spiritually cleanse ourselves and elevate ourselves and literally bring ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our experience from Pesach through the next couple of weeks, 49 days, until we come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So we're undergoing a major, major spiritual tikkun during this time frame. I want to finish tonight's shiur with a statement mentioned by the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, in what he calls the Mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is another way of saying the Haggadah. And I want to share with you what exactly he claims the Sherish HaMitzvah is. What is the Sherish? What is the Tam HaMitzvah of our going through the Seder and the Haggadah and all the other mitzvahs, Halayla, and the mitzvahs of the rest of the 7 days? What is the sherish of this mitzvah of CPC, Mitzrayim, and Pesach? So this is a quotation, a translation I'm giving of the Sefer HaChinuch. He says, when it comes to the mitzvah of CPC, Mitzrayim, and all the many mitzvahs that we have when it comes to the Pesach celebrations I mentioned last week, including the Korban Pesach and everything else, Mitzvahs Aseh, Mitzvahs Los Aseh, Why did Hashem make Pesach such a grandiose event? So says the Sefer Chinuch, and this is a little translation, that Pesach is the Yesod HaGadol, is the major foundation principle of Amid Chazak and the major pillar, B'Torasenu B'Maseinu, when it comes to our Torah and our religious beliefs. Al Kain, therefore, he says, Anu Omrim L'Olam B'Birchaseinu B'Tfilaseinu, you'll find continuously incorporated in many of the brachas we recite, many of the tefillahs we recite, we'll use the expression Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. It's all a commemoration to Mitzrayim. Why? Because Yitzias Mitzrayim was Shehu Lanu Os, it's a sign, a mofes, and a wonder gamur, b'chidush ha'olam, and the fact that God created the universe. As the Ramban says, if God can change natural law, that indicates that he created natural law. So we believe in the creation of Ex Nihilo, creation of Yesh Me'ayin, by thinking about all the wonders of change of natural law, which we see in the Haggadah through the Makos and everything else. Pesach teaches us in Chidush Olam, Yesh Elokai Kadmon, there is an eternal God, Chafetz V'Yochel, that has desires and has unlimited capacities, capabilities. Poel Kol Natzamasu, he accomplishes everything. Everything that exists is because of him. V'Yodol Ashenoske V'Yishe Yachpats, God can change everything in the natural existence of the universe if he so desires. B'Chol Zman Min Azmanim, in every time frame. K'mo She'asa B'Misrayim, like he did in Egypt. Sheshina Tiva Olam Bishvilein, Hashem changed natural law because of Klal Yisrael's redemption. Asalanu Osos Mechudashim, he brought all types of signs that would have never existed before. Gedolim Vatzumim, very powerful ones. Halozem Meshaseh Kol Kofer Bechidash Olam, the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim historically prevented anybody from having the ability philosophically, theologically, and otherwise, rejecting the concept of the creation of the universe by God, umekayim emuna biyadiyas Hashem, it allows us to substantiate our belief and knowledge of God, hashgachaso, God's divine providence, what goes on in this universe, yecholto, God's omnipotence, he can do whatever he wants on any level, kamo bechlalim ubefratim, in general principles and specific principles. So we therefore see that the theological power of Yitzias Mitzrayim is the most powerful mechanism we have available to us to bring us, as I mentioned before, to a knowledge of God, Hasagas Elokis, Hakaras Atov, to appreciate what Hashem has done for us for thousands and thousands of years, ultimately to Yiras Hashem, fear of God, reverence of God, Avat Hashem, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kumash Kadov LaTovu, whatever God does, he does for the good, even though we can't sometimes comprehend it. So Dava HaKal Nishma, at the end, perhaps at some point in the future, God will reveal why he did what he did, and we'll have a better understanding in a retrospective analysis. But in any event, the night of Pesach with the Haggadah is supposed to be intellectual. It's supposed to be experiential. We're supposed to learn on an in-depth level. We're supposed to basically sing Shiras V'Tishbachos and emotionally feel the spiritual uplifting power of Shir of Zimra. Chazal say that Shira, song and music, brings us to a level of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's why when Avodas were done in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Levitical choir and a Levitical orchestra that accompanied Hakrovas HaKarbanos to bring us to a certain spiritual plane. That is why we had on Sukkot a Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, where we celebrated Sukkot, and we had people singing and dancing, the greatest Talmidic scholars and Gedolim of the generation led us in Shira V'Zimra on that specific time frame. Raman spends a lot of time in his halachas, the Hilchos Sukkos, describing the Simcha Beis HaShe'eva, and the Talmud Yerushalmi says that the power of the Simchas Beis HaSheva was not only hearing the singing and the dancing and feeling that emotional connection through spiritual activities like this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazal say was called Simchas Beis HaSheva Shemisham Shavu Ruach HaKodesh. Whoever took the heart into mind the spiritual dynamics of what was going on when it came to experiencing the Simchas Beis HaSheva, if you took it all in, you were able to reach levels of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine connection between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are the beginnings of prophetic capacity. Chazal tell us in the Yerushalmi, Shemisham Rav Ruach HaKodesh, and Yonah Amitai, the famous Navi Yonah, was able to reach Nevuah by experiencing the Simcha of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Let's therefore say to Hashem, Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu, we are thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us such a powerful Yom Tov. No non-Jewish nation on the face of this earth has the schus of being able to literally experience the Kedusha, the sanctity, the elevation, the ecstasy that Jews are able to experience when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach itself. We might eat matzah, we might drink a lot of wine, might eat a lot of food. And for those who are hotel goers, there's no question you're going to do a lot of eating over Pesach. But that's not the Iker. That's the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov and Simcha L'Babas of Yayin. The spiritual edification and the spiritual elevation and the connectivity we're able to connect between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tikkun of our neshamas, and our ability to feel once again the loving hand of God watch us and take care of us and protect the Jewish people to the end of time. All of that is what we discuss and analyze during the Seder itself. Let us pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we're about to, in a couple of days from now, experience the Yom Tov of Pesach. That Hashem should grant us the schus of a Maimon Chazal, where the Chazal says, "Benisim Nigalu," you were zochet the Geula in the month of Nisan, "Ubanisin Asidim Lagael," you are destined to undergo Geula and redemption at the Pesach Zman when it comes to Yemos HaMashiach and the end of days. Let's hope and pray we will experience this. We'll have a spiritual redemption, a physical redemption, or the Chole Klal Yisrael will undergo an ultimate refuah, despite what the medical world might say. Hashem is the ultimate Rafi Kol Basar. Everybody should have refuahs and yeshuahs. We should be able to see the ultimate Geula, the coming of Mashiach, being able to have Kibbutz Golias and to return to Eretz Yisrael to witness the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the ultimate kiyum of all the promises Hashem made to us in the Torah and the Neviim, of what's going to be the spiritual level of the Jewish people, and the ultimate peaceful existence of the world on every level, eradication of all anti-Semitism, of all Amalekus, as I discussed in the last couple of weeks, of Sinah from the world. There'll be a love of mankind for mankind, peace in the entire world, spiritual discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. Let's hope and pray we'll be zocha in the schus of our observance of Pesach Kehilchasai, that Hashem will see how worthy we are and give us the ultimate geula, as we say in the Haggadah, Hashtahacha Lashana Haba Yerushalayim HaBanuya. V'chein hi ratzon.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.